This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Kelly Appleby, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Kelly, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. But before we kick off our show, we have a quick message from Tim Keller.
Hey guys, this is Tim Keller from the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. And I wanted to take a quick moment and say it has been a true pleasure and honor to be the host of such a great podcast. I know I said a few months ago that I was going to step away. At that time, Tyler made some adjustments to our schedule in order to make things a little easier for me to stay a part of the podcast, but my new job, the hours have just gotten crazy over these past 2 months, over the summer, and I don't have the time to dedicate myself to the level that you guys deserve. So, speaking with Tyler, I told him I thought it's just best that I step away, and really, the biggest part of that was having a guy like Doug Eddy come in and do such a great job. Made me feel 100% comfortable that Tyler was in good hands with Doug. And speaking of Tyler is the anchor that holds everything together. So as long as you have those two guys, Tyler's the guy that's going to hold everything together. Doug's going to be the guy that has the ability to steer the ship. They work well together. As long as you can stand the overload of dad humor that those two seem to provide, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. They get great guests, so they'll keep that going. I'm sure I'll be one of those guests from time to time going forward. And I'm still going to stay involved with the website. Dynasty Happy Hour is my home, so I'm sure they've already said it on this episode, but go over and check out the podcast section, the rankings section, and the article section on that website. It's a great website, I'm telling you guys. And we've expanded beyond just Dynasty. You know, we have the in-season rankings for redraft, stuff like that. So I look forward to the future. This isn't the last time you guys are going to hear from me. As a matter of fact, Tyler's kind of made an interesting proposal. So maybe there's something coming in the future. You never know. But as of right now, I don't have the time. Between work and my family, it leaves almost zero time to do anything else. And if I'm going to do something like this, I don't want to be a fraud. So if I can't put the time and effort into doing my research properly, into doing my scouting properly, I'm not going to put generic, bland takes out there. I want what I'm saying to be real, and because I truly believe it, because I've done that work and effort and that scouting. So again, it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. Tyler, thank you so much for having me. Doug, you're awesome, man. You're the best. So just try to rein Tyler in every once in a while. Keep him on track. I love all you guys. I'll still be on Twitter. I'll still be getting questions to the website, things like that. So just keep reaching out. And like I said, this isn't the last time I'll talk to any of you guys. So until next time, draft, trade, win, and repeat.
I just want to say thank you to Tim Keller, who is a fantastic host and a greater friend, somebody who I actually connected with very well in this industry. And I would like to thank for everything he's done for Dynasty Happy Hour. He's actually the one who gave us the website. He surprised Chris and I when we started and said, hey, I've been working on this website. So he is the guy who has actually pushed us to the website. So I just want to thank you for everything you have done. And also, Kelly, thank you for coming on. You were a gracious co-host. All the jokes we had and, you know, the good times we had. I just want to thank you for everything. Kelly, you will be missed. Tim, you will be missed. I hope for the best for you guys.
All right, we are here. Thank you, Tim, for your lovely message. We wish you the best in all your endeavors. And you're, I know you're still going to be writing and ranking for the Dynasty Happy Hour website. So that's pretty awesome to keep you on here. I'm here with my co-host, Tyler Gunther, and our guest co-host, Joe Pano. Not to be confused with Joe versus the Volcano. How are you boys doing tonight?
Doing awesome. Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. God. We're looking for some explosive analysis here tonight.
There's so many puns going on right now.
I actually own a board game called Punderdome. It's quite interesting. You should check it out on Amazon.com. Cheap plug.
My mind's kind of blown right now with all the, like, volcano blown with all the puns going on. But anyway, I'm doing great. Just coming back off the Dynasty Game Night pod. You guys got to check that out. It's fantastic. I lost to Matt Price, you know, my mortal enemy on Twitter now.
The zookeeper.
Yeah, he locked me up, caged me up like an animal.
Yeah, he backed you into a corner and you got scared.
Pretty much. It happens all the time.
Savage.
Awesome. So we are here tonight to talk about some Scott Fishbowl 7. And if we have some time, we're going to talk a little bit about some training camp stuff as well, some news notes, maybe some surprise cuts, and some of the battles that we're looking forward to in training camp. So before we get to that, we're going to talk about our sponsors, and we've got some awesome ones this week. We have the Fantasy Footballers Ultimate Draft Kit, which I was actually just looking at before getting on the podcast tonight. So if you need to do research on fantasy football in 2017, the Footballers Draft Kit is amazing. So you've got Matt Harmon's reception perception data on there, which actually what I've been looking at, and some real eye-opening statistics on some players that you didn't think might have some elite results, like Pierre Garçon. I'm not going to give anything away, but Pierre Garçon is an elite route runner and has awesome results in reception perception. So you have that. It's always being updated. There's rankings, there's articles, there's a link to the podcast right in there. There's also a DFS element too. So if you play on DraftKings or Fanball, you have that option as well. So a lot of exciting things. And Tyler, what's our code?
Our code is DHH. And once again, check it out. It's got like player videos. It's fantastic. Once again, go to ultimatedraftkit.com. Use code DHH and get 10% off your Ultimate Draft Kit.
Absolutely awesome. And we're also brought to you by the Sitter Start app, which you can find on the Google Play Store and the Android Store, which I always forget what it's called, even though I have an Android phone because I'm terrible.
The Google Play Store.
Yeah, Google Play. That's what it is. Thank you, Tyler, for that pick me up. Very, very much appreciated. So there's been a lot of different updates for the Sitter Start app recently, just this month. So you can go in there if you're trying to decide if you want to start two different players. I always use Isaiah Crowell and Emmanuel Sanders as an example. If you have a flex play and you want to see who the algorithm and their model is going to tell you is going to be the best play, you can put those players in. You can also look at statistics. There's new news and notes every single day. It's always updating, so it's a one-stop shop. You can download it right on there. And there is also a code for that, isn't there, Tyler?
Yeah, there is. Same thing, DHH. It's easy to remember. Anything we have is pretty much DHH. Or you can go to sitterstart.net/DHH, and that's another way to get to it. It's great. Doug pretty much said everything about it. I mean, honestly, the gurus have a sponsorship with them. Any code you use, I'm good for, because it's such a good app. You just need to have it no matter what code you use. It's not... I want to help you, and the only way to is for you to get the app no matter what.
I like the cheap plug. That's code gurus or DHH, whichever you prefer.
DHH is easier to type. So
that's true. It is a little bit shorter. It's less work. I know we're in a lazy society for the most part. So it's fine. We can do that. Last but not,
but gurus is also fun to say. I mean, I don't care.
Whatever. You. So last but not least, we are brought to you by the PlayDraft app, which is pretty awesome because if you play stuff like NFL 10s, it's very similar to that. Tyler, can you tell me a little bit about it? Because I don't have a lot of experience with it.
Well, PlayDraft is kind of a DFS type thing. I know, Joe, you are big into DFS. You like that type of thing. And they came out with this new best ball type of leagues where you can draft now. And just like MFL 10s, you kind of just forget it. And then you can go $1, $2, $5, $10, all the way up to, I think, $1,000
Damn.
In best ball drafts. Yeah. Not for me, but no. My wife would kill me. But
that's a lot of baby formula, Tyler.
Oh God. Well, if we used it, but
nice.
No, but we are sponsored by them. And if you go on playdraft.com/DHH or use the code DHH, you get a free $10 best ball entry. And it's great. I've done about 6 drafts. Sal and everybody from Falafel House are on there. They're fun to draft with. Sal, of course, him and his personality, you know, in the chats. It's fun. And if you're into redraft as well, it really gets you in that mode for redraft. You know, we're dynasty, and say, you know, you got a redraft draft coming up, and it works out perfect for that, because it gets you in that, okay, Marshawn Lynch in the second. I would never do that in a dynasty startup, but
I wouldn't do it in redraft either, but that's just me.
But yeah, it allows you to do it, and it pairs perfect with Ultimate Draft Kit.
Awesome. So those are our sponsors this week. And with that said, classic transition line, we are going to move into this week's episode, where we're going to talk about the Scott Fishbowl. So I want to do a little bit of a roundtable here. And before we talk about, you know, settings and things like that, so Tyler and Joe, what divisions are you guys in, and what pick did you pick from?
First thing I want to do is give the new guy the floor a little tiny bit to talk about himself. We're not going to let him off the hook.
Come on.
We're not going to let him off the hook. You know, everybody kind of knows what Dynasty Happy Hour is doing. Doug and I are looking for, okay, who's after Robin? If you're Batman, I'm Robin. Who would be after Robin? Alfred? We're looking for Alfred?
Batgirl?
Pretty sure Alfred's before, actually.
I don't know. Just because you're older doesn't mean you're better.
He's pretty smart.
I did like the gift that someone put out there of in Dark Knight, when they throw the pool cue and said, here, we got open job auditions. That was a pretty good one. I like that.
We're testing the waters, and Joe's, you know, the guy coming on to see how he does. So I don't want to let him off the hook. So let everybody kind of know, just in case you're the guy, what they're going to have to expect. Tell us about yourself as a person.
As a person. Okay, this is getting personal. I didn't know I was going to have to come up with all this. Well, I'm a dad. I actually got 4 kids. I'm happily married for almost 10 years. Anniversary's coming up. Man, that's my favorite thing is football and my family. That's like my thing. So, I got 3 sons, and I have 1 daughter, and my youngest was just born 6 months ago. So got a pretty action packed, got a pretty action packed, house. And, I actually have 2 dogs as well. Got big old English Mastiff and a golden retriever. So we have a lot going on at home.
Holy cow. Full household.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And I'm Italian, so that's kind of like our thing too. It kind of goes naturally. We like kids. We like pasta. You know,
carbs. You know, like, I was just about to say carbs. Yeah, carbs. I love carbs.
We like alcohol, stuff like that.
You cook for like 25 people when there's only like 6.
Yeah, sounds like my mom.
There's always leftovers, but the best thing about that is sauce is always the best the second day. So
there you go. My wife's Italian, so yeah, I know.
So is it sauce or gravy?
Yeah, sauce all the way.
It's sauce. The sauce is the boss.
Sauce is the boss.
All right. So we want to talk some Scott Fishbowl.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So I'll go over, you know, some of the outlines of Scott Fishbowl. So all about fantasycares.net. It's there's a lot of fans in the Scott Fishbowl, as well as fantasy football analysts. You can go on scottfishbowl.com and see all the different analysts. There's from ESPN to Roto World. You know, all the major ones are accounted for. You know, we've got Dynasty Happy Hour. We've got the TFF Gurus. We've got a little bit of everything on there, which is pretty awesome. So the draft started on July 10th. Some of the drafts are completely done already. I am jealous because we're in round 16 of a round 22 setting. So the Scott Fishbowl, to go over some of the details on what it's all about from roster construction, it is a super flex league, so you can start 2 QBs. There is no PPR. You actually get points for first downs instead. So a lot of focus on running backs, where a lot of wide receiver value fell quite a bit because they're is perceived as not as much, as from a point scoring standpoint. It's all about QBs, running backs, and tight ends. Although I've seen a lot of teams go wide receiver, kind of buck the trend and go wide receiver early. So it's going to be interesting to see how that ends up shaking out. And then tight ends get 2.5 points per first down. So you see a lot of tight ends going off the board. In my particular division, we had a pretty good tight end run, but it was all about quarterbacks. Through 36 picks, we had 18 quarterbacks at one point, which is pretty wild. Then I'm in the Pluto division. I picked in the fourth spot, and I picked Aaron Rodgers right off the bat because, yeah, from a fantasy football's perspective and a 2QB league, I wanted an elite quarterback, and I got the first one off the board, so I was pretty happy with that. So I'll go to Joe first. Joe, what division are you in, and what position did you pick out of?
I'm in the Stitch division, and it's filled with sharks, and I got pick number 11.
Okay, so you got the back to, you know, almost back to back, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I got pick 11 too. Loved it.
Look at you guys, twinsies over here.
I loved it
twinsies.
More.
So Joe, who did you take at 11?
At 11, I took so I had a kind of a tough choice. I took Jordan Howard. I was really trying to get a running back. I was hoping for like an Ajayi or somebody like that to fall, but that didn't happen. I was thinking maybe a Tom Brady would fall, but no, that didn't happen either. So I went with Jordan Howard right there. And I felt within this format with the first down bonus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I felt like that was going to be pretty good.
Tyler, you took CJ ProSize, right?
I actually took him before the draft. That's how much I love him.
Oh, man. The pre-draft to the pre-draft.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though, who'd you take at 11?
11, I had the strategy going in. I'm like, okay, I'm getting my two quarterbacks no matter what. And, like, pretty much I was going in, like, on draft day, you know, no matter what, two quarterbacks. And I took...
Vontae Mack, no matter what.
Vontae Mack. Oddly looks like Jackie Robinson and Black Panther. I don't know.
It's crazy.
But I took Andrew Luck at 111. I get everybody's worried about his shoulder, but
I saw his value drop quite a bit in some other drafts. I saw him go in like the second round in a lot of these drafts. Yeah.
And his value dropped way too much. And I get he's not throwing, but come on, man. Cam Newton.
Who needs to throw?
Cam Newton just started throwing, and
that's why that's why God gave you two arms. Just use the other one.
Yeah. Michael Vick did it with his left. Why can't you?
That's right. So did you guys have any kind of strategy going in to the draft? Did you have like Tyler just said that, you know, two QBs no matter what. So Joe, did you have any kind of particular strategy after looking at the scoring and the rules going into the Scott Fish Bowl?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I just want to say this is my first year doing Scott Fish Bowl. So I was kind of wasn't really sure what to expect, but I was looking at the scoring and I felt like I really wanted to make sure I prioritize quarterback and running back, tight end, you know, as well, if the right one was there. But I felt like I really wanted to go running back or quarterback. So I went with, you know, two strong running backs, I felt like, and then I followed up with quarterbacks right after.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, my strategy, I didn't really have a set strategy going in. I kind of want to see how the board played out. And looking at all these different divisions, no two divisions that are the same. It's crazy. So it was, you know, letting the value kind of show itself as the draft went on, but also not getting caught behind. For instance, there was in the third round, there was 12 picks, obviously it's 12 team divisions, but there was 10 quarterbacks taken in that third round. So I felt I was kind of forced to take Kirk Cousins as my QB2 on my second pick, because if I didn't, I would have been left with a quarterback that I just wasn't very thrilled about. And I love Kirk Cousins this year, so I'm fine with it. But it just goes to show, like, you know, you have to kind of adjust to the board as players start to come off it. And you want to try not to get caught up in those runs. But sometimes the best roster construction is making that move and saying, you know what, I'll just get a QB here and just go with the flow. And that's what I did. So did you guys have any kind of similar things happen with like a tight end or a running back run that you kind of jumped in because you thought you might not be able to get a player on the way back at all?
For me, I actually zigged when most zagged. You can see in my roster, I didn't take a running back until 602. And it was just because I didn't see value there. I didn't see, you know, somebody that was like, okay, I have to have this guy. So I decided to go a different route when most people, you know, were panicking and going full on running back. There was a huge running back run. I was like, okay, let me take a couple stud receivers.
Yeah, I think that was so in my particular division, there was some great value that dropped later in the draft. So for instance, I got Sammy Watkins at the fourth pick in the seventh round. So I was really excited for that. He's my wide receiver one, and then I followed that up with Terrell Pryor and then round. And I already have Kirk Cousins, so I like that double up potential between those two.
Yep,
so you can see the receivers drop quite a bit in my division.
Yeah, with the double up thing, I took Derek Carr at 202 as my second quarterback. Mm-hmm. At 311, I took Amari Cooper. I feel like he's going to be a first down type guy. He's going to run a lot. I feel like they're going to target Cooper an extreme amount this year. I think
this is the year that he explodes onto the scene. Oh, I mean, and he's already had 1,000 yards in both years, but I feel like he goes to the next level. Definitely.
100 plus catches, 1,400 yards. I don't think it'll be double-digit touchdowns.
I was going to say like 8 touchdowns feels kind of a ceiling for him. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he's going to have a gigantic PPR season. And this is the year when he kind of gets up in that top tier receivers. I completely agree with that. The first downs made a big difference. Mm-hmm. Like I went Dez at 402 because I think he's going to be really, other than Beasley, I think Dez is going to have a ton of targets as well.
Yeah, doing some research in that offense, Jason Witten, you'd think would get a ton of first downs, and he was like 68th, I think, in the league for receiving first downs.
Yeah, and
so that was like, kind of a surprise.
A lot of my receivers were literally thought of first downs. Like I went Hopkins at 5'11". He's going to be a huge first down guy. Stephon Diggs, I went at 7'11". I love Diggs this year.
He's open all day.
I think he's a phenomenal route runner. And I think he's going to be the guy that they go to on first downs. Same, like my running backs, I went McCaffrey. He was my first one. He's going to get tons of receiving first downs. And then, of course, I went against my own gut and went Eddie Lacy as my second running back at 802. That was painful. That was very painful.
So, Joe, did you get caught up in any positional runs in your division at all that were notable?
I did my best to kind of look ahead a little bit and kind of see where the tiers were. And I really try not to get caught up in runs because the only way that you can really go against that and kind of make it work for you is that you just have to wait it out. Because if you're able to do that, then you won't reach. But occasionally I did. In the beginning I did. I mean, I took two running backs that I felt like were a little bit ahead of what the consensus ADP might have been. But I felt like the drop off was pretty substantial. So early on, I felt like running back I did. Other than that, I really was trying to stick to where I felt like the value was and not like the drop offs and stuff like that.
Yeah. And same here. I mean, I feel that a lot of the picks that I made, I mean, we're through 16 rounds, so we're not done yet. There's still obviously picks to be made in a 22 round draft. But a lot of the players I got, I felt that there was, we already talked about Sammy Watkins and Terrell Pryor. I got Randall Cobb as my number three receiver in the 11th round. And I thought, I was like, okay, I'll take Randall Cobb here. No problem. And again, it pairs with another quarterback because I have Aaron Rodgers. So that was a factor, but he was also the best player available on my particular board. For running back, I got Todd Gurley in the second round. And I was pretty happy with that. He was really the last of the quotation fingers bell cow backs available. And I think that, he's just so talented that I think he rebounds this year with no Fisher there. And he's not going to run all mopey and hate his life, I hope. So I think Todd Gurley bounces big this year. So getting him in at the end of the second round, I was perfectly happy with. And then I typically don't draft rookies all that often in this type of format. But I got Joe Mixon in the fourth round, towards the end of the fourth round at 4.9. And because I like his upside and I think he's going to win that job. And if he does, that could pay off huge. And then two more values that I got at the running back position. I got Carlos Hyde with the 9th pick in the 6th round. And then I also got Adrian Peterson in the 10th round. So,
I love that pick.
Wow.
10th. Yeah. Round. He went at the 10.09. And then I got Joe Williams in the 16th round, just in case Carlos Hyde, gets hurt again.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, my running backs, I hate my running backs, but I had I went Devonta Booker at 15.11.
Burkhead. I love Booker, so I like that.
Yeah, Rex Burkhead at 18.02. Alvin Kamara at 11.11. Make a wish. That was so cheesy. Fat Rob at 12.02.
He's skinny.
I thought was great. Yeah, skinny yeah. Fat Rob. One of the two. Mm-hmm.
Fat Boy Slim.
Wow. Brings back some memories.
I do it again.
Christian McCaffrey, 602, like you guys heard. And then James White at 1311.
I got him at 1304, so right in the same ballpark.
Yeah, it's
of James White this year.
Yeah, it's very tough to find a running back that Belichick trusts, but I think James White is that guy.
He gave him a long-term deal, and that almost never happens.
Yep. The player we wish Lawrence Maroney would have been.
Oh, if only Maroney could run upfield and not side to side all day, that would have been great.
God, although, he's so good for Minnesota.
Although you got to give, I have to give Lawrence Maroney credit. It was it the 07 season when they were undefeated? It might have been, but it might have been the year after that. But I remember he had like an awesome playoff run where he was actually like very successful. And then he ended up going to Denver after he left New England, and then he was out of the league.
Which was surprising because it was him and Marion Barber in Minnesota. And yep. I seriously thought Maroney was going to be the better running back, but Marion Barber was. And I mean, it's tough to tell.
Yeah. Marion the Barbarian. So he was a good player for a little while. He wasn't bad at all.
He was fun to watch. He was fun to watch.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I have a friend up here in Minnesota that played baseball, and he actually pitched against Joe Mauer and Marion Barber. And he to this day will say Marion Barber was a harder batter to face because literally he could take anything that you threw at him out of the yard. And Mauer didn't, he never struck out in his career. So like you were pretty much going to be guaranteed to have a base hit or something or a ground ball. But he said Barber was just, you could pitch it inside, outside, and anytime he made contact, it was gone.
Not to talk too much baseball, but I actually pitched against Chris Carpenter in high school in New Hampshire.
He's
if you remember pitcher. Chris Carpenter.
A little humble pitcher.
From the Cardinals.
I don't know if you know this, but I know a single A pitcher.
I don't know if you know this, but I know Eric Decker's uncle.
No, I know somebody who's talked to Eric Decker's uncle.
Yes, yes, yes. He might retire, I heard.
Yeah.
Could happen.
Shoulder, from what I hear.
Yeah. So overall thoughts on your Scott Fishbowl teams. You guys feel pretty confident? I mean, it seems like everyone's like, yeah, I got a good team. Except for a few people. I know Matt Kelly, I was listening to the Roto Underworld pod and he hates his team. So I thought that was funny. He'll probably end up winning because of that. So
go ahead.
Oh, I'll just kind of tell my full roster. I went Teddy Bridgewater with my last pick, you know.
Nice.
Cheering for Teddy. Derek Carr. Jared Goff, Andrew Luck, you know, Jared Goff.
That's a solid three. I like Goff this year.
Yeah, me too. I hope it's not.
Where did you get him?
10:02.
All right, he went in like round 7 in mine. So yeah,
wow,
you did just fine.
I already announced my running backs. My receivers are Dez Bryant, Amari Cooper, Diggs, Josh Doctson. I got at 17:11. DeAndre Hopkins, Cooper Kupp. I got at 21:11, who I think is going to be a good first down, you know, PPR slot guy, and Kevin White at 16:02. And that was, I'm not a Kevin White fan. That was literally, I was packing for vacation and I saw I was on the clock. He's on top. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Sure. You got to use the excuse when you take Kevin White. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
You have to find something when you take him. My tight ends are Seth DeValve, Gerald Everett, Austin Hooper, and Eric Swope.
Oh, Swoop. You swooped in and got Swope.
This sounds like a dynasty roster right here.
It really does. If this was a dynasty team, I think I'd be pretty happy about it. And that, like, that's the thing about my team. I wish I went tight end, maybe a pick earlier. Sure. Maybe have, you know, let off and not have taken Diggs at 7:11, gone a tight end there, but I don't remember there being any really good tight ends.
And I just couldn't find myself reaching just to take a tight end. I was like, there's so many other good players on the board. Like, I don't want to reach to take someone I really didn't want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the tight end I really wanted was Jack Doyle. I like Jack Doyle this year.
I would have liked it. So Doyle and Hooper came off the board right before my pick, and I was a little salty about it.
Yeah, I think Doyle was picked way earlier than I wanted. And I would say 7 or 6 round, he went really early, so that was my struggle. My team, could be okay. I like my quarterback situation, and hopefully Teddy recovers. Honestly, if I can start Teddy this year, I'm gonna be happy in two ways: the fact that he fully recovered, because everybody loves Teddy Bridgewater, and that I get to start him.
There you go. All right, so I'll cover my team really quick, and then we'll get back to Joe. So I told you my two quarterbacks. I took Aaron Rodgers at the 1-4, and then I took Kirk Cousins in that mega QB run, and he was at the 3-4. My third quarterback in round 12, actually not too bad of an option considering how many quarterbacks were taken in this draft. I got Mike Glennon in the 12th round, and I'm okay with that as my QB3. I think he starts all year unless he gets sacked around his neck, which is just very large. So we'll see what happens there. At running back, I got Todd Gurley, Carlos Hyde, Joe Mixon. I already talked to you about those. And then I didn't take another running back until Adrian Peterson in the 10th round, and then followed it up with James White and Joe Williams. So I feel I have pretty good depth at the running back position. So I'm pretty happy with that. Wide receiver, Sammy Watkins, Terrell Pryor, Randall Cobb, all great values, trademarked, in my opinion. And then I spun Mike Wallace and then Ted Ginn in the 14th and 15th round. So very unsexy players. But I think that, you have those boom weeks where they can really help you win, where they're going to have, four receptions for 90 yards and a touchdown. Those are the type of guys that I'm perfectly okay with. And I'll probably add a couple more receivers because there is still quite a bit of depth left in my division. And then at tight end, I am very thin. I took Kyle Rudolph at the 5-4, and I'm actually happy about that because I think Rudolph is going to finish as a top five tight end this year. And then at the 8-9, one pick after Austin Hooper, board that was available was David Njoku, and I just have a really close relationship with David Njoku because I own him everywhere. So I said, you know what, why not own him in the Scott Fishbowl too? So I took David Njoku in round 8. Might have been a little bit of a reach. I know Christopher, one of our TFF Gurus members who's in the Scott Fishbowl, has David Njoku as his tight end 4, and I'm like, yeah, he's my tight end 2, let's roll. So I'm definitely looking to take a tight end here soon, coming up in round 17 whenever I get there.
Yeah, you have Njoku everywhere, but that could
I really do.
That could pan out, and it could really hit hard for you, and could really help
could it Joe pan out though? dad jokes.
All right, so with my squad in the Stitch division, I got Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott as my QBs. I got Leonard Fournette, Jordan Howard, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara and Darren Sproles.
Ooh, there's a lot of youth on that team.
Got some youth. That's right. That's right. I got Doug Baldwin, Stephon Diggs, Pierre Garçon, Tyreek Hill as my receivers. Don't sleep on Tyreek Hill with the extra rushing bonus, guys. The first downs, okay? Mm-hmm. It's an extra nice little bonus there. And then I got Zach Ertz, Austin Hooper, and CJ Fedorowicz. So that's where we are. We're only through 16 or 15 rounds right now, guys. So
that's a pretty solid squad.
We're going pretty slow.
Yeah. Any of you guys have ProSize? Because that should be the determining factor. I missed out, so I think I'm going to lose. That's the struggle. The struggle is real in the ProSize bandwagon. That's your boy? Here. ProSize is my boy.
That is his boy. Absolutely.
I don't think it's the format for your boy, but yeah. I mean, same thing with Kamara. I like Kamara a lot, but
those third down receptions, those third down, receptions from the running backs are what I was kind of looking at. That's why I waited. Like James White, when it's 3rd and 4, there's a chance he could just get a short pass.
Well, his efficiency is off the charts too.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what I look at. And that's a point right there. And that, if I can get a point.
Sure.
So I've got some breaking news, and I need you guys' help. Are you willing to help me out here? So I am on the clock in Pluto Division at the 17:04. So you guys just heard what my team was, and I'm debating between a couple different players. So I could really use a tight end because I only have David Njoku and Kyle Rudolph. So the best tight end available, and I know this is a guy that you have on your roster, Tyler, and that's Gerald Everett, is the best tight end available. Other options is Eric Swope, but I think I can wait to maybe get him on the next pick if I went that way. Wide receivers, I could use another wide out. We got John Ross available, Kevin White, Sterling Shepard, Tyler Lockett, Curtis Samuel. Some pretty decent names out there. And then as far as running backs, let's take a look. We've got Jeremy McNichols, Jalen Richard, Deion Lewis, Aaron Jones. It's pretty thin at running back, I'm not going to lie. Jerick McKinnon's available. Not a lot going on there at running back, so I don't think I'm going to go that way. I don't know. What do you guys think? You guys think I should just go Gerald Everett and call it a day and just add my third tight end? Or do you think there's a good case to maybe get like Johnny Ross or one of those other wide receivers on my squad?
I've got a player in mind that I like, and it's Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
First downs. I don't like pairing up the same team receivers. So if you have Marshall or Beckham, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't have either one of them.
Okay, then I like Shepard. He's going to play slot, and mm-hmm. Eli's going to look for him when they need a first down. And honestly, first downs matter so much in Scott Fishbowl that I think Shepard would be a good pick here. That's my choice personally.
I actually thought about taking Shepard with the last pick when I took Ted Ginn. So I'm not opposed to that. I'm just wondering if in six picks I'm going to have a struggle to get. Well, let me go through tight ends again. So we got Gerald Everett. It's Adam Shaheen, Zach Miller, Eric Swope, George Kittle, who's my boy. So there's not a lot going on at tight end, to be honest.
Yeah, you could end up coming back and getting Kittle maybe later.
I think I could probably take Everett here and then still get Shepard in a few picks.
That's a bold move, Cotton, but let's see if it works.
So there's Kevin White, Mike Williams, John Ross, Tyler Lockett. I mean, I see that all those guys, people are down on Shepard. I'm not, but I think a lot of people are. So
Shepard's
a good pick. I'm going to roll the dice here, and I'm going to take Gerald Everett and then hope that Sterling Shepard, and hope is not a strategy, but I'm going to take...
Yeah, the way your draft is going, you'll find out in like 4 days who will be there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad you asked us what we thought.
Yeah, thank you for that backhanded slap in the face.
No, I just wanted opinions, and that's fine. Yeah, that doesn't mean I have to do what you guys tell me. I'm not going to jump off a bridge, you know?
You know,
well, now we're invested in your team. We're invested in your team. You didn't take our guy, so you know we'll see how this works out.
Well, I just took Gerald Everett, and when Sterling Shepard's there in six picks, I'll let you guys know, and you can be like, "Oh, okay, cool."
Yeah,
you know who I'm rooting for?
Curtis Samuel.
You know, Tyler Higbee is who I'm rooting for now.
I love me some Higbee, so that'd work out for me.
Damn you! Damn you! I hate you guys.
I'm in so many dynasty leagues. I could cheer for anybody, and they'd be on a team.
It's probably good. All right, so let's transition a little bit from Scott Fishbowl now that we kind of covered our rosters, some strategies, and had some good conversation around who I shouldn't pick. And we're gonna move on to some training camp talk. So we got training camp coming up. I know my New England Patriots come up on July 27th, so they're gonna start their training camp. Tyler, you said you're going to the Vikings training camp, right?
Yeah, August 4th. Nice. I'm trying to convince Izzy and John Paul Hurley to go as well. I think
that'd be cool.
I think I'm convincing my wife to go, so that'd be interesting. But we'll see how warm it would be with, you know, two kids. It'd be a struggle with a 4-month-old. So, yeah. But I'm definitely going the 4th. It'll be my first time ever going to a Vikings training camp. So
that's awesome.
That'll be fun to see the rookie there, Dalvin Cook, run.
Now they do. Do they do it right at the stadium, or do they have like a separate facility they do it at?
They have a separate facility, and it's actually the last year. It's going to be in Mankato, Minnesota.
Okay.
And they're actually going to move up closer to their new stadium in a brand new facility. So it'll be kind of a bittersweet moment since it's been in Mankato for 40 odd years or so.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, the Patriots do theirs right behind the stadium. They have two big practice fields and bleachers, and it's crazy. I mean, their typical daily attendance at Patriots training camp is about 15,000 people. So it's absolutely nuts. I usually bring my son with me. He's 4. He's usually pretty good for a while. They have like a little kid's place that you can hang out. The nice thing about Foxborough is around the stadium, there's a hotel, there's a movie theater, there's restaurants, there's all sorts of stuff to do. So we'll make a whole day out of it and have a lot of fun. We do that every year. I used to try to get autographs because I'm a sports memorabilia guy, but it's just so difficult. I don't even bother anymore. But it should be fun. So I'm gonna kick us off with Tyler says it's a lukewarm take. I think it's actually kind of a hot take here. So when we talk about some players that might get cut, surprise cuts, and there's always a few of them during the course of training camp, mine is actually on the Patriots, and I think that Deion Lewis doesn't make the final roster. What do you guys think?
I am with you 100% there.
All right. I was talking to Tyler. I just think he's repetitive for what they do. He doesn't play special teams. Bill Belichick loves Brandon Bolden, so I think he's going to keep him as, you know, their fourth running back. I just don't think that Lewis is going to – there's no cap issue if they cut him. And James White can do everything that Lewis can, and so can Rex Burkhead. So why are you going to keep doing Deion Lewis on the team?
I think he does play special teams a little bit. I think he does do punt returns, right?
Or at least not, he can. He can, but they haven't had him return kicks.
He struggled. You could tell when they had him at punt return.
I thought I had heard him say that.
I think his punt return was the one where he looked like he just completely tore up his knee again. So I think they're hesitant to use him there because he's a porcelain doll of injury.
Yep.
And that would be a huge blow when they had him on the team. But yeah, I kind of see that happening. The writing's on the wall. I mean, you got Gillislee.
He's the guy on the bubble, yeah.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. you got Gillislee. I think Burkhead is locked with how much money they gave him. So yeah, it's got to be Lewis. He's probably the cheapest to cut.
Yeah, yeah, I actually think he is. He's not on a very lucrative deal whatsoever. So it wouldn't surprise me if Deion Lewis, and it'd be interesting to see if, you know, I think he'll get a job in the NFL because he does have talent. So it'd be interesting to see where he lands from a fantasy perspective, if that does indeed happen. So do you guys have any players in mind that you think could be on the roster bubble that could get let go off the top of your head?
No, Doug, you and I talked about Leonte Carew off the pod, and that brought up an interesting point. He's a guy that doesn't seem to be in favor with the Dolphins staff. Mm-hmm. You said you wish they switched him to, what was it, tight end? I think
Julius Thomas can't stay healthy, and Carew's built like a tight end.
Yeah, so. 6 foot, 220. That's not tight end. Come on, Doug.
Yeah, have you seen that? Have you seen the latest video of Leonte Carew?
What, did he grow? Did he grow 3 to 4 inches?
He's absolutely jacked. He looks like a friggin' tight end, I'm telling you.
You could be huge, but when you line up on the line, in line, you're going to be tiny. You're going to be tiny. You're going to get destroyed.
Disagree.
But anywho, I think Carew, this is a make or break type training camp. And I struggle to say that because I finally went off the Devonta Parker bandwagon. I'm done with him. And in that aspect, I either believe in Kenny Stills being a pretty good receiver or Leonte Carew being a really good receiver. So I put some chips into Leonte Carew basket. I would not mind seeing him leave and go to a different team because I think he is really talented. I just think that offense has so many mouths to feed and they're going to run through Ajayi this year.
Yeah.
I just think he's going to struggle to see the field and he needs to leave that team to get some playing time.
Yeah, I agree. I have him stashed in 2 dynasty leagues. So I'm actually hoping that he gets let go and lands in a good spot for his skill set. You know, he was great. College dominator score is through the roof with Carew. The puzzling thing is, you know, Miami moved up to get him in the draft too. So they gave up some picks to get him. And maybe just once they got him, maybe it was a work ethic thing or just Gase wasn't as sold, I guess. But we'll see. I think that'll be definitely an interesting storyline to see in Miami is how Carew is going to evolve and hopefully carve out a role. You know, Jarvis Landry, the thing with him is they haven't offered him any kind of long-term deal. And he's a free agent at the end of this year. So who knows what's going to happen with him. So it may be just a two full year waiting game with Carew, which if you're playing Dynasty, sometimes it's about the long con. You know, it takes time with some of these players. You know, I took Carew in the top of the second round last year, and he's just kind of just sitting there. So good news is I won the league in that particular one. So whatever it is what it is. I'm not hurting because I took him. But so we talked about a little bit about surprise cuts. Any kind of camp battles you guys are keeping an eye on? I know, you know, for Minnesota, I think you're probably keeping an eye on Latavius and Dalvin, right, Tyler?
Not really. Like I said in past podcast episodes, is if Zimmer has both his sight in both eyes, he's going to be able to see who the better running back is. If he has another surgery and Latavius is on one side and Cook is on the other that he can't see, that's the only way I can see Latavius winning this. And all jokes aside, I think Cook is going to win this. I have my vote for Cook being one of my rookies of the year. My other one's Kaiser, of course, in the, you know, hot fire episode, the hot takes. But I do think Cook will be the starter.
I agree. Yeah, I'm a huge Dalvin Cook guy. Joe, what do you think?
No, I'm with you. I'm really getting more into Dalvin Cook, especially kind of the more I looked into it. Actually, Curtis really, I don't know, from DLF really like hit home when they switched over to a zone blocking scheme. I didn't realize that, and I really like you know, kind of studying the zone blocking scheme, and Dalvin Cook is like a perfect fit for that. Especially kind of makes you feel a little bit better about the offensive line because the offensive line was a problem last year. They added some pieces and they actually just, it's a good fit for the zone blocking scheme, I think. And Cook has got great balance, you know, and vision. So I think he's going to be a good fit. Latavius is, you know, he's a jag, but they'll give him short yardage and probably some goal line work and stuff like that. I think Zimmer even came out and was kind of talking about that the other day. So definitely Dalvin Cook for, we'll get the touches, but Latavius will still have some role.
Yeah.
I think the thing about Dalvin too, is a lot, I watch every Florida State game cause I'm a huge Seminoles fan. And the thing that, you know, some people are finally realizing is that he ran behind a subpar line at Florida State. So
below subpar. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was trying to be nice.
Yeah. The division, the NFC North division, the defenses aren't tough. Like you got the Detroit Lions. They're okay. Right. You got the Bears. Meh.
Their defenses should be good though. The Bears.
The Bears are better than the Lions. The Lions are terrible defense.
And then you got the Packers who ranked worse in passing. Yeah. They got Mike Daniels on the line. They got some okay linebackers, but no defenses really pop off the page except Minnesota's defense, but they don't have to play against each other. So,
right.
Thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully. God, that defense is great. But yeah, the thing is Cook in that zone blocking scheme, you hit it right on the head there. He did very well in Florida State in that zone blocking scheme behind a very, very meh offensive line. And he's a guy that could literally have a foot of daylight, like a little tiny hole, and kind of like in that Devonta Freeman-esque, you know, same school, just burst through, and then he's got like nobody's gonna touch him. Cook, Cook, I think, even though he ran that bad 40 time.
Oh, his 40 time was okay.
4.49.
Yeah, I mean his three cone sucked. That was a big thing.
But that's the thing, like three cone.
I don't care. The tape tells me everything I need to know about Dalvin Cook.
The vision, the burst. Like, yeah, he didn't have a great burst score, but then you're also going to say his tape is lying because shows.
So Dalvin, the thing about the zone blocking scheme is the athleticism can be, you know, overblown in a zone blocking scheme. I mean, you can occasionally have some of the burners like the Tevin Coleman's or the Tatum Bells from back in the day that have the really strong 40 time.
Nice.
But
A plus.
You can get away with Alfred Morris, the Olandis Gary, the, you know, those subpar athletes, the, you know, Mike Andersons and things like that. As long as you have good vision, you can run with balance. And you, like you said, the biggest thing is the vision and making that one cut and going and getting kind of skinny through the hole. And that's what Dalvin Cook can do. So I'm not really worried about it in the zone blocking scheme, even more so with that. So I think it's going to be a really perfect fit.
Yeah. You know, that was great analysis. I was mind blown over here bringing up Orlandis Gary and all that.
I was waiting for a Quentin Griffin.
Yeah,
yeah, we got the old folks over here, and I'm sitting here talking about, you know, Sean Alexander when I was 12 years old.
So, Joe, where can we find you on Twitter?
At Paino. It's pretty easy. P-A-E-N-O. Paino. It's real simple. Nobody's got that name.
No Paino for that one. You won't go any Paino on that one.
No Paino, no Gaino. All right, Joe, so you told us where we could find you. Tyler, where can we find you?
At DHH Gunth.
Awesome. And I have been your host, Doug Addy. You can find me at The Fantasy Father. And I am obviously the new host of the Dynasty Happy Hour. So this is my first official gig as the host. So it's pretty awesome. You can also find me on Trophy Time, presented by TFFGurus.com, which is also part of the Dynasty Happy Hour Network, isn't it, Tyler?
Yes, and we are very proud to have you guys. You guys do great work over there. You guys are moving on to your redraft stuff. So that's good talent going from redraft to dynasty, then back to redraft. Yeah.
I do DFS too, like Joe, so I'm a jerk of all trades.
Yes, and I am just average dynasty Joe over here.
That's okay. You're laser focused, and that's what we need. That's perfect.
Yes. Laser focus, if that's what you want to call it.
So make sure you check out dynastyhappyhour.com. We've got some team previews going on there. You can check out all the network of podcasts on there as well. And please make sure, go on your mobile device, download, subscribe, leave a review. Always very helpful. And that's DynastyHappyHour.com. And until next week, Tyler, what do you say?
Draft, trade, win, and repeat.
There it is.
Boom.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at Dynasty Kelly App, at Tim Dynasty FF, and most importantly, at Dynasty HH Pod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.